we are visiting a little bit with Lance and Shan. Lance, why don't you say something here?
Hello, how are you?
Just real good. Anything else you want to say about what happened at school today?
We played and we made papers, and one paper's about things that you color.
They are. Well, I wonder what Shan did. What did you do? I'll just hold it. It's fine.
I had those pictures that Lance said.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you have a good time at school?
Yeah.
Did you play some games at school?
No. But one thing we had is girls show and tell.
Oh, what did you show?
I'm not a girl.
Oh, I see. Girls show and tell. Well, that was a bad mistake of mine. We are in an interview with Mrs. James Birkebile in her home in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, on the 13th of April, 1978. And I'm wondering, Mrs. Birkebile, if you could just give us a bit of a background on your family and on Jim's family in any way that you like. We're not trying to make an encyclopedia out of you. But it would be helpful if you could give your parents' names, the mother's maiden name, soon, and If you don't take it that far, don't worry about it. And maybe you ought to tell us before you start that who these guys are who are talking here. Why don't you want to hold this? Or would you rather hold it or rather I would?
You.
Okay, I'll just hold it fine.
Well, Lance and Shan are the twins of Roseanne. And she's working today. So Grandma keeps them. You see, they get in kindergarten in the mornings. Jim's parents were Stephen and Nora Birkebile, and they were missionaries to India, and we met at Stony Creek Church, where Jim's father was a minister, when we were in about the age that these children are.
Now, where is the Stony Creek Church?
That's Bell Fountain, Ohio, uh-huh. Out in the country. Uh-huh. And my family lived in the country. We had two farms part of the time. I have two brothers, and my folks took a girl to raise when she was 18 months old, and they're still living in that area.
Could you fill us in on the names of those brothers?
Well, Harold is my older brother, and he married Gladys.
Well, names don't come to mind, don't
you? Yeah. She went, she was from Michigan. And Ralph, and he married Ruth from near our home area.
Now, I don't know whether you got on here your maiden name. You have it.
And my dad's name was Lawrence C. Huber, and because he was born on the day that Cleveland was elected, and then he married Lorena M. Hurt, and she was from near where we lived. Three brothers. Their parents died when they were 7 and 9 and 11. And
where was Jim in that age span now?
Well, he would be the middle one. I believe John was 12.
Uh-huh.
And Jim was about 9. And he went to live with an uncle of his, which was his mother's brother. and his family. And then he worked his school by working on the roads, new roads that they were building in Ohio. And he went to Manchester and graduated. And his other two brothers graduated and are doctors. One of them is living near Cleveland. And he also had boys. Then we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he went into research work.
About after when did you move to Tulsa, approximately when? If that doesn't come to mind.
36, 37. In 1940, when he decided he didn't want to be a superintendent of schools, and he did research for about 3 years. And then Dr. W.W. Peters came to see him one day when he was preaching in Cushing, Oklahoma.
I imagine.
And he said he'd better get back into teaching rather than into research work. And so that's what he did. He moved down in 43. Yeah, in 43 we moved to McPherson, where he taught chemistry for a number of years, and then when Dr. Bittinger became president, Jim was taking additional work at Ohio State University because he had taken off a year's leave of absence in 2 summers and finished his degree and went back as a dean.
Now, he finished that degree after he'd been at McPherson several years. I'd sort of forgotten.
Yeah, that was in 50.
That
was 50 he got his degree. And then he was propositioned for a new job by Dr. A.C. Balker at Elizabethtown, and we moved to Elizabethtown in 57, where he was in the chemistry department. And taught for a couple of years, and the government asked him if he wouldn't like to take a job overseas in his field and setting up laboratories and the like in Taiwan. And he thought he was going into college area, but he started with the elementary school and went right on through high school into college and university.
What was he doing, setting up programs of study in that field?
Yeah, and teaching teachers, and he had classes with teachers, and they didn't have laboratories, they built their own movable from place to place laboratory. And then he returned to Elizabethtown in 61. We've been here, I guess, ever since, until he retired in 65. No, in 75. I'm sorry, in 75. And he became the chaplain of Brethren Village New Year's Eve, where he thoroughly enjoyed the work and what he was doing for the guests of the home.
Now, Brethren Village is?
Brethren Village is a home for the guest home of many of our brethren people in the areas of which the schools in that area. Let's see, I should say something about Hershey paid their expenses, but the governments in those areas where they taught paid the teacher's salary. And they spent 2 years living in the area. And sometimes some of them decided after they had a furlough to go back and stay another year or 2 years.
Do you have any idea how many students went over into that program?
Over 300.
Over 300.
Then after this program ended, after 10 years, with 2 years of the last group returning, he went in. He was elected asked to be the director of the Center for Community Education, and which he worked with until his retirement in 1975. And this was a program where people who may have not had degrees from a college, but had attended many seminars and work sessions with their businesses that they were working with, were given so many credits, and then if they needed more credits for graduation certificate, they would take seminars at the college or attend a class. And once they had obtained the needed credits, they were issued a certificate of their work. And it helped many people, because I hear from quite a few of them who have bettered their jobs by having finished their work in college.
I think we didn't, and just backing up a little, we didn't get the names of your boys on here. I think we ought to have that registered.
Well, our oldest son, Stephen, is married and to Ginny Gary, and they live up in the San Bernardino Mountains of California, and he has about 300 clients on his cable TV system, which they built themselves.
Is that right?
It's in a resort area, a ski resort area. But this year they had little snow, so they didn't have much except man-made snow. And Ray has worked about 12 years in a research laboratory of Highland Laboratories in Santa Ana, California, and he married Pearl Kenyon of London, England, and they have four children. Stephen has one, and Roseanne has twin boys. And now I'm living back with them in Elizabethtown. I was about 12 years old, and since my folks had kept in contact with Jim's family after his dad passed away at our home church at Stony Creek, they moved back to her family, Jewell, Ohio. Then the boys would come down, John, Bob, and Jim would come down to our house on weekends. And one summer they came down in haymaking time. And we hadn't seen him for quite a while, but we had, my older brother Harold and John were the same age, and my, I was about the age of Jim, and then we had other families there that knew Bob. And then when I went to McPherson,
Manchester,
yeah. Uh-huh. I met Jim at Vesper services that night, and our relationship grew, and we were married in 34. And he went to a school at Ohio State University to work on his PhD. And I worked to see that he got through.
What did you work at?
I worked with Lever Brothers and went from door to door in Columbus selling Rinso and Spry, and giving each person that would listen to our speech coupons of the different things that Lever Brothers produced and a can of Spry.
Did you, were you a pretty good saleswoman?
Yes, because we couldn't work for them if we weren't, because we had to give our talk to someone of the family other than children living in the home. And if we could do that and take the key from the Spry can after we had opened it, they were counted every night, the number that we had.
How many people could you contact in an average day like that?
Let's see, I found this record. 20. Something about 30 to 35 people we contacted in a day. And we had a leader. She'd tell us where to go. And there were three of us in each group.
Did you enjoy that?
Yes, it was a lot of fun during the winter time, but it was cold and dirty work. But it was good, and it was good money, we thought, for those days. And I also worked in a restaurant downtown in which I sold nothing but pies, dessert, for desserts for people who came in to eat their dinner, which was lots of fun in Columbus.
Do you think of little human interest stories or things about other parts of your experience with Jim, or any issues, anything comes to mind about your years at McPherson that that is impressive as you think of it? Any particular headaches the students caused you?
Well, I'm so glad for all the friends that grew out of our relationship and our stay at McPherson. And today, many of them write to us. We keep in contact during, especially the Christmas season. And we get to see each other every once in a while. And it's very nice to have DeWitt and Mary Miller and our church services here, which we're enjoying very much, and many people have gotten to love them here as we did at McPherson. We're just sorry that they're going to be leaving us very soon.
Now, how long have they been here?
They'll be here 2 years in the last of July. And the Easter programs were, and Lenten services were, just beautiful services that they arranged for.
Well, I know DeWitt was the minister at the McPherson Church when we came, and I used to say that DeWitt would send you away with more to think about than most. He was a very, very good preacher. We appreciate him so much.
And he's even better now.
I bet he is.
Yeah. And Mary is so good at having the young people and the youth put on programs which are delightful and meaningful.
Well, I think we want also to express our appreciation for what you people did in McPherson. Jim was one of the most loved teachers that's ever been around the college, and we appreciated him so much, not only in his work in chemistry, but also as dean. And we were happy to work with him those years and with you.
Those were lots of good years. Our children enjoyed the schools there and made many friendships that we still have today, for which we're very grateful. And our work at the Monitor Church during our time there has given us many happy memories and friends over the years.
We appreciated knowing your kids, and I think Steve did some garden work for me one while. I can't remember. I think we were away, and I don't know what we were doing, but one summer he took care of some of our garden work there. I think we had out a bunch of evergreens. He might remember, and I can't quite remember what the details were, but it's something when we were gone, and I don't even know where we were, but he did some work for us a while.
I've forgotten about that.
It might even have been and went back up to Lone Star, I'm not sure. But, we enjoyed knowing you people and your family, and having you as a part of the McPherson community.
How many years were you out at Monitor?
Did you go there right after you came? Well, no.
Not quite.
I think Roy McCauley was there one while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know how many years we were there.
Well,
isn't that awful?
No, it isn't, because I would have trouble figuring out how many years we were out there, and we followed you.
Yeah.
Well, we can establish that from the record, you know, this kind of thing. To identify.
Isn't that something? You know, I hadn't thought about that for a long time.
Well, it's quite understandable.
So many things have come back since I've just been sitting here.
You know, we get that response many times when people start reconstructing their experiences, and they sort of uncover some things that they'd almost forgotten.
Quite a lot of time since Jim went to Africa every year for 8 years, and spent anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months with his teachers. We made a lot of friends, and now some of their instructors and that were there when they were there are coming and taking higher studies here in Elizabethtown. And now the children of those people are coming, the Nigerian people. And this has been interesting because we met them there and were in some of their homes, and now their children are attending school here, which is most interesting.
Did you go along with Jim?
I went 1 year because we visited the brethren mission areas, every one of them, and spent Easter Sunday and communion services in one of the areas. Let's see, we were at isn't that awful? We were with the Falsgrass the year we were there in 65. Immensely.
Let's see, the younger Falsgrass is now in Colorado. It was his folks, I guess. I can't say his first name now. Yeah, Roy Falsgrass.
Yeah.
It would have been his. He might have been there. He might have been through school by then. I can't remember.
Well, sure. One of the Falsgrass were here, taught here for a while. Uh-huh. One of the sons. And I don't know where he is now.
This boy, I believe, is working at the church at Hexton and farming. And I suspect he'd have been a person when you were there, but I can't just identify for sure.
I'm not sure about that.
Now, this concludes the interview with Mrs. Birkebile. We were visiting with her in her home, in the home where her daughter Roseanne lives. Roseanne has a regular job, and Mrs. Birkebile is there taking care of the twins who were introduced at the beginning of this tape. She had just recently had a cataract operation on one eye and was seeing better than she had seen, I believe, for a number of years, and was looking forward, perhaps not with too great anticipation, to similar surgery on the other eye. However, she seemed to be in real good spirits and had a lot of life, and we enjoyed very much speaking with her. Mrs. Birkebile was not of the age bracket, which is the prime consideration of the earlier, that is, the earliest efforts on our part to secure interviews. But in view of the fact that Jim was dean there and that we were in this area, we thought it would be good to interview her. I suspect she is just a little bit past retirement age, likely. My impression is that Jim would have been something less than 70 had he still presently been living.